As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
You have to understand your talent, right? So there's the skills and knowledge of people, and then there's the desire of them. And this axis, some of you in the group when I talked about it, so it's feeding and bleeding versus relativity. And so, you know, how much is it, if you do it yourself, is it going to, in relativity and feeding and bleeding, where does it fall within this axis? So these are determinations of a leader knowing the skills and knowledge. So if something's repetitive in nature, you're better off to spend the time. And the best way to spend time to teach someone how to do it is something that's repetitive that would just suck your time, that you could teach someone even though you could do it quicker yourself for several times, but you're gonna have to do it 100 times. So what I do is shadow, work with, and supervise. So first I evaluate the relativity of the decision or the skill or the knowledge, and then give them the desire to either do it or do it myself. Usually if it's a one-off type of activity, you're better off doing it yourself. If it's a scalable activity, then you're gonna take the time to have them shadow you, work with you, which takes no more of your time than you do it yourself. And then the only extra time is the supervision. But once you do that, then you can have someone shadow them, work with them, and they will supervise. Now you go from two people to four to eight, like that. And that's how you get to a $1 billion company, is through that exact mechanism. But as a leader, you have to determine, is this faster? If it's a one-time thing, I do it myself. If it's gonna be, wait a second, this scales, this is gonna happen, I'm gonna have someone. And this is how I board and scaled. And you know, we were 17 billion at West, and they thought I was crazy. I started and said, these people are just gonna shadow me for 90 days. And they're like, you're gonna pay them just to watch you? I said, yeah, because they are going to learn how I do it, and I'm gonna ask them questions how I can do it better. And then we're gonna work together and do double or triple the work. Then the hard part was supervising them and doing my stuff. But once that was done, business scaled. But it isn't doable if you're constantly going back when the mistakes are made. You're like, I'll just do it myself. That will kill your business. Look, it's progress, not perfection. Remember, behavior determines progress. So put in your mind, progress, not perfection, and behavior determines progress. We're just not capable of being aware of the progress that's created instantly. So bad behavior is gonna create bad progress. Bad communication creates bad progress. That's a bad behavior. Good behavior creates good progress. And you literally cannot, you know, if you take this end outcome perfection, you're gonna screw yourselves as well. Perfect to me means doing your best, learning lessons, having fun, progressing in a positive manner. That's perfection to me. It takes time to learn this, but doing my best doesn't mean that all 24 hours a day is dedicated to this one thing. Because some people would say, well, that's your best. You want to be the best dad? Then spend every minute with your kid. That's not actually true. So my thing is utilizing time as a dependent variable, that if I spend 2 minutes with my daughter, I'm going to spend the best 2 minutes with my daughter. And if I spend 18 minutes on this project, it's going to be my best effort on that. When I sleep, I'm doing my best to recover and access information. When I'm vacationing every day for a minimum of 10 minutes, I'm doing my best not to do anything else other than enjoy myself as if I was in the mindset of vacation. I know the difference if I'm working out, if I'm going to give a minimum of an hour a day for balance, stretching, cardio, and strength. I know when I've given my best in any one of those portions. I also know when I went through the motions. That's the difference than just saying, well, I could do my best and give all my time to this one thing. That's not what I'm saying. Do your best at what activity you choose to prioritize. Don't just go through the motions, because it's just not worth anything. You're just gonna have to redo it. If you cut the line, you always have to go to the back of the line. The truth vibrates the fastest. And that's not to say that it's okay too to say, I didn't do my best this workout. Next time I'll do better. We're human. Progress. It's a really good mindset. But I think the biggest takeaway I have so far is something that's taken years for our company and for me. It's like, just be over. I used to call it over communicating. Like, just be above the game and codify it. Like, hey, is this what you know, or instead of having these groups, as much as these are great, especially with him, like, let him know, because he's really open to be coachable and just say, hey, I don't think that's fair, or is this what you mean, or, you know, in this situation, here's how I'm feeling. Is that how you're feeling? Because a lot of times it's just because he's moving fast. Well, I want you to think about the things that scares you most and then give it the meaning that best helps you, not interferes with where you want to be. And so, you know, I use this open-minded, open-ended question system that can really help you lead. One thing that I talked to Mark about before I came was, and I wasn't going to say this in front of everyone there, but in the context of being a leader, you don't have time for a closed mind. Like, as a salesperson, you do, right? You got to use the three no rule and you move on because you want to catch and provide value. But the biggest aspect of AstroPay is going to be to build a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other either internally or externally. If you build, and the faster you build in person, on the phone, email, and media, this community with the services and solutions that you guys have, which have small distinctions in the marketplace, but you're the first to market with, you have an advantage of building that community. Why do you want to build that community? Because Qualcomm, Apple, Amazon, all their success is because they built a community of people that literally want to help each other and know people that can help each other internally and externally. And what does that community do? They buy from you and sell for you for life, making your job really easy. But the first place you get your need to build the community with is these people here. With a new change in leadership, you need them buying from you, meaning your ideas, your discipline, strategies, and selling for you. So it's not good enough that they're believing you, Max. It's that they're going to everyone else going, Max is smart, man. I really think he's gonna get this done. They're selling for you. And that's going to give you the buying from and selling for life, which will build the community internally and externally for you to maximize the value of the company and provide more options, opportunities, and touches of favor. And so in that construct of this open-minded is that I would have a very short fuse for people that have closed minds. So I'd fire fast a closed mind, even if they're super talented. That's just a piece of advice. I will tell you.
How do they find close mind in
that,
5 minutes?
You can't in 5 minutes. You can't.
Sometimes you think that someone is open mind and it's closed and you don't realize, or you need like.
They're not asking enough questions. Okay. Open minded people are easy to figure out by asking more questions, right? If they're getting to an open mind, will say things like, would it help you if? Or do you know anyone that can help me? Not. I can't do that. That hasn't worked.
This is the way we have been doing it forever.
This is the way. That's closed-minded. Yeah, I can appreciate that. But would it help you if? Or do you know anyone that could help me? These are two things that we have to get into our vocabularies and knowing how to add value to their lives, which is giving them more what they want, taking away what they don't want. Same thing with your clients. It's really keeping it simple. It's one of the cultural values I know this company is. And I have found that when you know something really well, not only does it tell you its secrets, but you can explain it simply.
Yeah.
Right. Most of the things I have, 5 of this, 3 of this. Well, yeah, there's 35 years of experience. So I could tell you, you know, do your best, learn lessons and have fun. You can't get to that simplicity without going through a lot of verbose bullshit to get to that and go, wait a second, this isn't that hard. This is really what I should be focusing on, doing my best, learning lessons and having fun. And same with you as leaders and the people that you want as intelligent followers as well. So one, I'd be very cognizant of closed minds. And if you are constantly trying to re-engineer, it's just a waste of time. I mean, for the amount of time that will take you, you literally could get so much productivity out of 3 open minds to try to re-engineer 1 closed mind to build that community. So I, as leaders also, internally and externally, you build community in person, which is great why you guys are here. You do it on the phone, you do it via email, and you do it via media. More media for the external than the internal, but the phone, the email, and in person, it's all community building and knowing what they like and what they don't like. Remember, people buy on emotion for logical reasons. So if you find out what they like, they will make an emotional decision aligned with where you need them to be in order to effectuate a bigger picture, which they don't have the skills, knowledge, or desire to know at this time. They might someday. And when I'm very clear in directing, you know, as a leader, my people. So, you know, understanding how we get there, in person, eye contact, smile. Make sure your emails also are asking that second question. All your emails to someone should say, not only here, how can this help, but do you know anyone that could help me? Ask for help. Nothing will build a team better than you saying, do you know anyone that can help me? They're going to want to stand up and say, I can. Or they might actually know someone that can do it even better, and then you start building your team and your community as well. And so I would really practice this, you know, open-minded. And once you start putting your attention, you'll start realizing how many people around you have closed minds. And, you know, the 80% of your employees will bankrupt you. 80% of your customers will bankrupt you. If I took away your 20 best employees and your 20 best customers, the other customers would only break you even or lose you money. It would bankrupt you eventually. Same with the employees. So the better we get at elevating the ones that are breaking even, getting rid of the ones that are losing, clients and internal clients, our employees, our team, the better we'll be off. And to be able to distinguish that is to ask questions and take the time, smile at people, you know, tease them a little bit. You know, I love, you know, asking someone, you know, hey, did you buy that sweater on sale? And if they laugh,
yes.
See, now you know he has an open mind. Hey, right, now you have an open mind, but you can see if someone has a closed mind, right? Like you've offended them. There's a variety of ways, but you should really, as leaders, get in the habit of first talking to open minds and getting rid of the closed minds, both of customers and your team, and teaching them how to do that. The other area there's 3 things that we really want to empower our employees with. 1 is values. 2 is the practices. And then 3 is the execution. And a lot of leaders don't take the time to talk about it. I do virtually every Monday an hour, and it's values, practices, execution, and then student of the calendar. We study time together to be productive, accessible, and gracious as a team with the calendar. Because that's the center point to me of productivity, is how are we using our time? aligned with the trajectory where we want to be, teaching lessons from stuff that we've learned from previous experience of time. Then the values, the daily practices in the context of what are we doing today, saying, thinking, believing, and feeling. And then the execution of that. And I think it's interesting because that's what I've learned is it takes time. And so for me, I started with just four values: gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. And I couldn't get them to memorize them. And it seemed like a chore. And then I started asking questions about them and making the interns tell me. And I would say, the only thing for interns I want you to learn are four values. What are the four values? What does gratitude mean to you? Right? In starting slowly but surely, and we keep on evolving. And we do it every single time as a ritual. But we also mix it up. I think for me, we do, you know, your biggest professional or personal win. And we just quickly, we also do dummy tax awards. So, you know, I'll go ahead and say, what's the biggest mistake you made and what'd you learn from it? And then give a bonus to someone who has a really big lesson for the group. We also have done best takeaway of the week. So we vary it so that people, so it doesn't become mundane, and it keeps everyone learning from each other and learning about each other. So that's one of the things. But you also have to be patient because it's so frustrating how slow. You think it's so easy to say gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. Gratitude gives you perspective. Empathy gives you ease. Accountability gives you control. And effective communication gives you inspiration. It's hard. And I can ask Nick, how long have you been with me? What are the five daily practices?
Know your what, know your who, know your how, know your now, and apply your why.
What does know your how mean?
Know your how is being a student in your calendar.
Which means?
It's studying what you have planned, what you don't have planned in your sleep. So it's got your white space in your calendar, which you talked about a little bit earlier, and then your most important part to get you recharged the rest of the week.
What lenses do you use?
Gratitude, productivity, accessibility, and gratitude.
Right. That took a long time. But I'll pick on everyone and make them not, again, like you just don't know. And I'm amazed, like the vice president of my media has been with me the longest and he didn't know what my execution model was, which is really simple. Like capture all options, opportunities, the touches of favor, distribute them to the people that are most capable internally and externally, prioritize those that come to you and then either execute or distribute the ones to if you couldn't do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort, but I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
For me, I have 5 incentives for everyone, and you get grades every month from your boss. So even down to the interns, if each one of my employees has at least one intern that they mentor, so they're teaching these things to them besides learning them. And so the 5 things that I incentivize are sales, being honest with themselves, which means lying to you. Look, if you catch someone in a lie, they've lied to you 10 times, you just caught them once. And it's very, very dangerous if you don't raise the awareness that most people lie with good intentions in a business, most. If they lie with bad intentions, then they get fired. You know, fraud and whatever. But most people lie because they're afraid telling you the truth that they went to the dentist, whatever, this stupid stuff. Asking questions. People who ask questions are more engaged. Accessibility and engagement today should be incentivized. It's not just good enough to be engaged. You need to be accessible if you're remote. It's an indication that you have a better, you can be way more productive. You may be super talented and I'll keep you on because you're engaged and you're really talented. But if I made you more accessible, you could be twice as engaged and you could make more money, get promoted. Student of the calendar, like really understanding your time. And that one's really easy to elevate awareness of when they're not utilizing their time effectively, because then they get frustrated because they feel like they work all the time, but they're not being engaged and accessible or productive because they're not using time correctly. And you're not, as a leader, helping them manage their time. And there's all types of subtleties of success of how to use your time. You know, I have a 5-20 rule with my calls. So 5-minute phone calls, 20-minute meetings. So they're setting up, if it's me, they're setting it up that way. Do I make exceptions? Absolutely. But I've also branded myself that way internally and externally, because after 5 minutes, you're visiting almost all the time. After 20 minutes in a meeting, you're visiting. And if you took all the visiting time that you take with people that you barely know, don't know, or don't need to visit with, and put it into the number one priority that I heard upstairs, family and friends, everybody would feel like they have enough time for everything in a better harmony. But they're wasting time visiting with people they don't know and they, you know, barely know. And the visiting is just like being on TikTok. It's that much of a time suck. And so helping them in those 5 areas, you can pick your own incentives. I would stick with the ones I know, asking questions, being honest with themselves, student of the calendar. I personally think sales is important. I want everyone to sell. I want everyone to sell, build, because they're building the community, right? And you don't know who's aunt or uncle. I mean, some of my biggest deals, her dad, for example, I didn't even know this. I got asked to be on a TV show with Wozniak called, Unicorn Hunters. And, oh yeah, my dad directs that, right? Maybe I'm like, oh, there's an in. But if everyone's not sale-minded and they're not, oh, unicorn, my dad does that, you'd be amazed how many people are sitting there like tubes.
Yeah, question on that, huh? Because that's like external sales, but I think something in Anthropay is that there's nobody's like selling what they do necessarily. I think there's a lot of people just doing their shit, getting stuff done, but there isn't enough communication, and sometimes things get lost in that. That is actually getting done, but there isn't necessarily the sales process of this is the idea, this is where it's going, etc. Okay. Would you incentivize, how do you incentivize sort of an internal sales mindset for an organization that isn't necessarily accustomed to that, to creating that, like, this is a vision, this is where we want to go, etc., from the bottom up?
Yeah, it's a matter of that trajectory that we talked about, right? Are we doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing in a trajectory of where we want to be? So is this where we want to be? If you haven't articulated that to the team, whether it's this week, this is where we want to be internally, right? That internal sales, I'm just looking for improvement in this area, being more engaged or asking more questions, or it could be just efficiencies in some thing that you feel could exponentially value the productivity or accessibility or gratitude. So I think, you know, that comes from the top, allowing, and whether you do it on these meetings that you have, and you can shorten the amount of time. You definitely don't want to start where I am right now. I would either do a Monday or a Friday meeting to start, 15 minutes minimum, and start with just communicating and getting everyone to show up and then want to show up.
I have a quick question in terms of, like, one of the things that I've seen is, like, we talk a lot about ownership and, you know, really getting people to take ownership over their work and what they do and really be responsible. But I also feel like, and I do this personally all the time, we don't necessarily show that through our actions. Like, I think we question people a lot, like, why did you do it this way or why did you do it that way? And sometimes give them the answer instead of accepting the answer that they give us. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you have any thoughts on how can we work as a team to make our team, like, much more empowered and be okay, in a sense, be okay with the work that they're giving us, but also make them and help them strive to do better.
Yeah. So the idea of lessons, so pain, setbacks, failures, and mistakes are indicators you have a lesson to learn. So when we experience a pain, mistake, setback, failure, to be able to ask the question, you know, what do you think we can learn from this, right? What did you do? What could you have done better? You know, instead of approaching it in more of judgmental or with conditions or a perception of perfect. I catch myself all the time going, hey, this is easy as a Monday morning quarterback. Like, it's easy to say this, but I'm more interested in, you know, what did you learn from this? What could we have done? And I give, you know, different projects to different people of, you know, here's what I want to look at with the TV show. I want to look at how can we continue to do this instead of this? Like, we have thousands of people that want to be on the show, and we're just, because it's convenient, just surface, you know, whoever is either the latest to request or the biggest, and it's just easy. But we're not utilizing our community. So now I've challenged everyone, what can we do better? And have them come up with the ideas that are doing it. I'm a big question person. And, you know, if you read, like, Marshall Thurber, Social Deviance, he's really great at, you know, never saying anything other than questions. It takes a lot more energy, but he's always answering and teaching through just questions. And for me, I have two of my favorites, right? Would it help you if, instead of telling them how to do it? Because they may say no because of something you don't know about. And you've lost that opportunity when you say you should have done it like this. And then two, do you know anyone that can help me or help us? Because then they're looking at different resources and different things. Or do you know anything that can help us? Anyone that can help us? They're looking for knowing assets that you don't know. Things that can seriously help. And especially with technology, some of these people that work for me are like, hey, did you know Microsoft has this one button, blah, blah, blah. That would really help us. No idea. So I've been wasting 6 hours a week when one button from Microsoft for $90 or $20. So challenge yourself to ask questions would be my best for almost everything. And if you're stuck, it's, would it help you if you're going to make a suggestion and you don't want to, you know, think of a question, it's just, would it help you if, instead of, you should do it this way? Or do you know anyone or anything, any software, any weather that would help us?